Hello, humans, and welcome back to Audio Face. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are recording together.
Finally. He returned from the Free Speech Studios.
I returned
for the people.
I returned from Free Speech Studios. I don't even want to think about my finals or my life in general. It's good to be back.
That's why you're not charging your phone right now. Just let it go. Let it die.
Let it go. Nothing. Don't need anything.
No.
New year, new me. Still December.
I hate that term.
That's disappointing. No, I absolutely hate a term too. I'm Dan. We introduced each other. We introduced ourselves already. All right, great start. A little rusty because we skipped a week last week because we were both doing life
things. Dan's, I'm just looking at him. His brain is going like a little hamster in a wheel. It's just going zzzz.
I mean, this is normally how I am, but there was a lot we missed, so we're going to come over that. We're going to cover that. There's a lot we are not going to cover this week. They're going to push to next week.
Yep.
And, oh, there's many things we're going to do. There's lots of content.
And then we have our award show coming up. And
it's going to be fun.
So it's going to be a good couple weeks.
New singles of the week. Let's just jump right in.
Don
Diablo released You Can't Change Me, which was a new single. And this isn't like a very EDM heavy episode. This is probably the only EDM thing in it, kind of. I mean, we're also talking about Nerd and Eminem. That's important.
That's very, very important.
Both big artists in the 2000s. Big acts. They have released albums. They are very interesting sounding, and we'll talk about them.
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
On electronic music, on Don Diablo. Don Diablo is one of the few artists I can still like tolerate listening to in the electronic space because it's not the same like
hypey-typey bullshit.
Yeah,
that I always say.
There's build up and drop, but it's. I think I finally found out the way to describe it is that I feel like. In electronic music I like progressive house, for example, the mm-hmm. way the music gets better is that you add more elements and you add more instruments to it, which makes logical sense because that's how music works. The key appeal to most, like especially what Sean calls hypey-typey electronic music, is that it's based upon the absence of music because it's a lot about taking everything away but just keeping the drums to build up getting rid of some sound for a drop or something. Like it's the absence of it, which itself is an interesting thing, but it's like the genre's one-trick pony.
Yeah, and then it keeps. Yeah, and it's literally like the same sample that everybody uses. And I go, okay.
And it's even worse when you see it live, because it's the same six samples everyone's using.
Yep.
When you expect more, especially from a festival. But no, Don Diablo is not like that. He's one of the best like future house DJs, or at least one of my favorites. And You Can't Change Me. It's a like typical electronic music fair, like female vocalist singing fairly generic millennial lyrics,
but right.
but musically it's good. I really liked it, and it was a great single that came out either this week or the other week.
This week or the other week,
you know, because that's how we're doing things. And the other kind of new single, quote unquote, of the week.
I guess rap freestyle of the week.
Yeah, right.
Segment.
Black Thought, who is from The Roots, who we often see on one of the late night comedy shows. I don't know. No one really watches them except for the YouTube clips. But like, it's weird how that's how we think of The Roots now. The band on the comedy show.
That's rough.
I mean, they're probably getting paid. It's sweet CBS money or whatever network still thinks
sweet business
late night TV is still a good idea. Anyways, he freestyled for 10 minutes. Yep. On a radio show.
Just went full gas.
That's basically how I could put it. It was just full gas. And it was, even the freestyle alone, lyrically and as far as what kind of words were used and how things were connected together and, yeah, the fact that it kind of went on 10 minutes with, like, very little break whatsoever. It's amazing talent, and even the freestyle was better lyrically than most rap songs I've heard, like, across many genres this year. It's kind of, like, sad to say, but also a testament to Black Thought's talent. So that was really good.
It was pretty cool.
Definitely check those two out for cool things. I originally said earlier in the episode too that there are things that did happen in the past 2 weeks that we're not talking about yet. That includes
Oops.
Yeah, no, busyness. But
yeah.
Brockhampton, Sean and I just kind of recently became aware of. They're like an online boy band which makes negative points for us, but you know, we're gonna hear it out.
We'll try it. I mean,
we just didn't get the chance to hear it out this week, and I don't want to just like skip through it because it's an interesting concept. Because, yeah, Brockhampton's like an online boy band, they built like an online fandom, but
yeah, like I don't know how to describe it.
But boy band is more just like, it's a bunch of dudes in a band. It's not like they're Backstreet Boys. They're not like coordinating outfits. They're not like doing like duets and stuff. It's like, even the word boy band doesn't seem perfect for this, which is why I'm reserving a little bit of judgment. And I just want to be honest. Like, I didn't hear, like, we didn't hear the full thing. We'll do it next week. As well as Sean actually brought up that he wanted to do more music soundtracks or movie soundtracks. And next week is going to be a great week for that. So we're going to be adding, in addition to Netflix's Bright has a soundtrack, which has a lot of cool artists on it, including...
it's like it's just a clusterfuck of big names.
Rag and Bone Man, X Ambassadors, who's also on the Eminem album, Ty Dolla $ign, Future, Kiara, Migos, Meek Mill, Snoop Dogg, because he's everywhere. Like, it's just drum. It's just a star. It's a loaded album, and it'll be interesting to see how that is. Some of the songs have gotten like a bit of acclaim, not like acclaim, but like it's cool. There's Portugal the Man as well. Like I said, a lot of rap artists, but cool. Portugal the Man's on this. It's interesting. So we're gonna be talking about that, and next week we'll be talking about the soundtrack too.
Phantom Thread. We're seeing it like the day before it comes out next Sunday.
Yeah.
In LA. I'm trekking out to LA to watch it. That's how you know I'm excited.
I love how you say trekking out to LA when, especially on a Sunday, it's going to be a 20-minute drive.
Let's take a 30. My car's at least.
Maybe 30 because we obey speed limits.
Born past 90, sir.
We pay our taxes. No, but so case in point, Brockhampton, cool idea. We're going to listen to it next week.
Yes.
Soundtrack for
Phantom Thread and Bright.
The Netflix movie, I think, which also has Will Smith, which will be interesting. We'll be talking about that. No. So here's how it's going to work, because there's also going to be Audio Face Awards. We're going to record both next weekend. I'll figure out how to distribute those, because we definitely said it'd be coming out next weekend. Or we might push it another week and do it Christmas. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
This is... Welcome to Audio Face. We figure it out live as we do it. Yep. No, but you're going to get all of that then. But that being said, let's go on to regular news.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar, Damn. Is a special edition.
Damn!
He's releasing a special edition of the album, and in this special edition, the track list is going to be reversed.
What the fuck? It's so random.
What are you talking about?
But the track list is reversed. I'm like, all right, that's kind of cool.
Well, in Damn, it's funny. Sean and I were talking. The Lost Audio Face episode is when we tried to review Damn. And when we were talking about that, which is funny because it's not like anyone can reference that, we were talking about how at the time there were rumors that Kendrick was going to be releasing an album, like a second part of Damn, shortly after it came out.
Yeah.
That'd be like a more complete part.
That's the Lost episode, right?
Yeah, that is the Lost episode.
The Lost episode, if we get enough crowdfunding, we will release it, supposedly.
I truthfully don't know if I have it.
No, it's just a joke, because I think we deleted it, actually.
I lost it somewhere on my computer. But anyways, that was a factor that ultimately didn't happen. Although, a lot was talked about in the release of the album, especially because of how the last song ends. Like, it's put in reverse, and then everything kind of goes back in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
What would it be like to hear the song backwards? I mean, hear the album backwards. I think maybe some reporters did this and, like, shared their opinions, but now you'll get to do that. And I might do that, too, to see how an album plays backwards, because... And if it works well backwards, because I love... when we review albums, we're always talking about the continuity of it to make sure it works. So if you flip the script entirely, like, will it still flow? I'm really curious.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's kind of a cool idea. It seems like what a hipster would do.
Honestly, what a hipster would do?
Like, honestly, be like, I'm going to release an album and then release it again, but backwards. All right.
At least it
looks cool. I mean, I want to try it and see, like, does it have the same feeling?
Right.
You know? But it's kind of whatever.
Is this Kendrick going too far for you?
I mean, Kendrick has gone too far because every new music I have, he's fucking on an album. Like, he's with U2. He's with Nerd. Well, he's with this and that. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, next thing you know, he's going to be conducting the LA Philharmonic for the Mozart Concerto or something. He's going to be sitting down playing a Steinway, $120,000 Steinway piano, busting out a prelude or something from Chopin. I'm like, what the hell?
Can we just imagine the wonderful idea of Kendrick Lamar with, like, just conducting, just going, I got.
Please.
Oh my God, thank you for that visual. No, I'm also going to say another thing I never thought I would say. In defense of U2.
Defense of U2, yes.
U2 was on Damn. And so it's kind of...
Oh, no, that one I get, for sure.
Yeah,
but you, like, he's like, I swear to God, every new album this year, I'm like, there's either the Goose is Loose or there's Kendrick.
Oh my God, I forgot to say it. I forgot to even mention that. I didn't even add this to the on the
we'll,
rundown.
We'll do that right...
Let's do that right after this.
Let's do that. I would say...
I'll put that in the rundown. But the main point you were trying to make, separate from U2, that Kendrick has been on like every... as guest tracked on every single album this year.
Yep.
That goes back to the Major Lazer thing, where, okay, it's your turn to like hit the block and hit the cul-de-sac and go to every single artist's, their new project and like spit a couple of verses on there. It's like varying levels of success. I mean, both the Eminem album and the Nerd album are collaborator heavy. And when you do collaborator heavy albums and songs, one issue is that the person you're collaborating with doesn't have a lot of room to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the point of having Kendrick Lamar in every single song where even though he's an extremely talented person, he gets like one verse? It's that, that's a marketing thing. And mm-hmm. that's pretty easy to see through. And that's something you're right on, Sean.
So,
but yeah, we did walk into that, but Gucci Mane.
Here,
is,
I want to show you. I want to put this somewhere. I'm gonna just.
You're gonna put them in the rundown. I'll explain.
Oops! Fuck! Okay, go.
All right. Well, thanks, Sean, for that professionalism. We mentioned it, but Gucci Mane is releasing his third project this year, supposedly on December 22nd.
What is the name? It's down.
At the bottom? Sweet.
Yeah, pop it's it up. Called because
It's called El Gato, the Human Glacier. He's already tweeted out the track list.
I wanted you to look at the track list because look at number 6.
Oh my God. Wow.
Shout out.
Number 6. T-Y-T. Is, number 6 on the track list is called TYT. Shout out to my day job.
Hello, Jank. You've made it. You've gotten the goose.
All right. I think I have a responsibility working for this company to also listen to this album. But no, Gucci Mane is releasing another album. It's supposed to come out next week.
December 22nd. This week, actually.
Yeah. So...
Technically. Because we are recording on Sunday. For
that's why. That's what I meant to say, is that we have so many... There's so much music that we are going to review next week. In addition to the award show, then they're going to have to be two different episodes.
Oh, no.
It's so I'm sorry I keep pushing the award show, but that's probably going to get released like on Christmas. But guess what? You'll have the break. It's going to be a super long episode. We're going to go through so much music. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be wild.
I'm going to get banned from my own network. Like, I'm going to... You're not ready for how great the award show is going to be. But anyways.
Yeah, but... song 11 is Southside and Goo Wop.
Southside Goo Wop.
Southside and Goo Wop.
I like it.
Okay, real talk. I kind of like Gucci's, like, I like the seats in his Rolls Royce. Does it? That's pretty clean. And that, I'm sorry, this is a horrible podcast if you're listening.
I'll give you that. It looks good.
It's a horrible podcast if you're listening, but I'll post a link to that in the show notes. But I'm just worried that it's just going to be like, okay, you made a nice trap album. It's the same. It's not really that special. Even though the album cover and everything looks nice, but whatevs.
Sorry, I couldn't avoid that.
you sneeze, get off the network.
I mean,
we'll be reviewing that. We'll be looking forward to that. Next story. Everyone's talking about net neutrality, and it hit music because... net neutrality is the idea that... It's basically just protections on the internet so that...
But it has the word Obama in it, so it's evil.
No politics. It prevents internet service providers from prioritizing certain content on their networks. And what this means in the real world is that, feasibly, now that net neutrality isn't the law, Comcast, which for a lot of people is your only option as a service provider, or Spectrum even, this podcast brought to you by Spectrum.
Pretty much.
They could decide... Hey, if you want to watch Netflix, that's an extra $5 a month on your internet plan. If you want to watch miscellaneous content, for example, this is the big fear, is that smaller players like Syndicate 23, like many, many other groups out there, will have a harder time getting into the game because you have to be a big player to negotiate with these people to get like the best deals. Yep. Whereas right now on the internet, once you pay for your internet, you can change your speed or whatever, maybe change your bandwidth or your data cap. But beyond that, it's open and you can use whatever services you want to on the internet. It's just sustaining how it is. Relating this back to music, Bauer, who we know is the DJ behind the Harlem Shake and like
2012.
That song and like that whole viral thing, his song was used in this really awkward parody that the news website, news in quotations, no politics, Daily Caller, shot of Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC, who, by the way, used to be a lobbyist for Verizon, so just putting that out there. But he made this...
Used to make Verizon a lot of money, and now he's making Verizon even more money. Hashtag no politics.
Interesting. hashtag no corporations.
My guillotine, drink promethazine.
But in this video, Ajit Pai, he like does the Harlem Shake, because the idea is, the internet's going to be the exact same. You can still have memes and jokes and...
You could still buy Christmas presents. Well...
It's the uncle who's trying to it's the old person who's really, really trying to relate to like young generations and trying to sound hip and cool and fresh and with it to see what's really hood in the streets. Like, it's a really cheesy, bad,
Is that what the kids are doing now?
Like, in addition to being cheesy and bad and lame, it's also just, like, really disingenuous and slimy. And so I really dislike
Super
that.
Slimy.
Yeah. be active about it. Net neutrality is very important. If you like consuming content on the internet and you like the way it is.
And you listen to Audioface.
Yeah, like, and you listen to Audioface, so chances are you probably
Two humans who are listening to Audioface.
Oh, we have many humans.
No, apparently we have many humans, which still freaks me out. People listen to my voice. I don't
Stop
like this.
Fucking up.
I need to unfuck my life real quick.
Especially if you're in America and you care about the internet and you like the internet as it is, more or less. Basically, if you don't want the internet to get worse, support this.
Anyways, hashtag no politics.
No politics. Thank you, Sean, for indulging me. Let's talk more about news. Let's talk about nerd. Let's talk about music news.
Let's do this.
No one ever really dies, which is what nerd stands for.
And also because, you know, Pharrell Williams is never going to die because he's like 22.
Pharrell Williams did... Okay. I've always talked about Pharrell Williams' life elixir and what he did to get that, but no politics. So this album is 11 songs long, which is a pretty good size.
It's just under an hour, 51 minutes. So that's like,
also a good
for song. Us, it's like you want it to be an hour or just under an hour for most albums. Some can be a little over an hour, but if you hit that hour 15 or over that, that's like... Ew.
I call the LP rule 72 minutes.
I'll allow it. 72 minutes. I like it.
EPs, I expect to be about half an hour.
About,
an album, I expect to be like anywhere from 45 minutes to 72 minutes. Any more is really pushing it. Fun fact, I'm pretty sure Daft Punk specifically made their album to be 72 minutes because that was the limit you could do on an actual LP. For Random Access Memories.
For RAM?
Yeah. An hour and 14. So maybe it's 74 minutes, but I thought that was like a random fact they did. Back to nerd?
Anyways, back to nerd. Back to Pharrell doing different things. Set up Daft Punk.
Yeah, and of course it's not just Pharrell. There's a bunch. It's a group. There's a bunch of
other people. There's a bunch of humanos on it. You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I'm going to lay out more of like the album. So
yeah, have at it.
There's a lot of guest stars, and the guest stars are mostly rap, but there's some wild cards. There's Gucci Mane. Hardest working man in hip hop. There's Future, there's Kendrick, there's Andre 3000, so shout out to them. But you also got MIA and Rihanna and Noted Little Bitch Ed Sheeran.
Yep.
And so.
Noted Little Bitch.
Going into the album, you have an artist that hasn't come back in a while, a group that hasn't really made work in a while. It's 2017.
6 years?
Yep.
Maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check that and see. You have a lot of new. You have a lot of artists collaborating on it, and we just talked about it moments ago. It can either be a good thing or a bad thing, but it's definitely a balance you have to strike if you're going to have a bunch of collaborations.
7 years.
7 years, wow. Yeah, that's when Nothing came out.
Jesus. That was Boondock Season 3.
I think Gorillaz were touring with Nerd at the time.
That would make sense, because Plastic Beach.
Yeah, in 2010, yeah. Makes total sense. All right, would you like to go first? I talk a lot. You go first.
It was good, actually. I was surprised. I didn't know, like, super what to expect. It wasn't, like, super, super rap heavy. Like, what you expect from this day and age rap. Jesus, how do English words good? Whoa.
You ready? You good?
Yeah, I was just trying really hard not to just burp in the mic right now.
Sean just had Sean just had a digestive incident.
I'm just sitting there like, I can feel this bubble coming up, and I don't want the people to hear it.
The people's bubbles.
The people's drink. So I'll start off with limon.
Lemon.
That's a joke.
Limon.
That's a YouTube joke. With Rihanna, and it was okay. But then the rest of the album was actually pretty good. There's a couple songs that actually sounded like Pharrell's album, Girl?
Girl? Yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, it was his last one. There's a couple songs that sounded like, I could have actually been on that album. They were pretty cool. The only one I didn't really like was 1000, because Future was auto-tuned, and it sounded like shit, like, to be honest.
You know, I'm actually like, fully agree with you. That was the worst song on the album.
The rest was actually pretty good, because the rap was actual hip-hop. It wasn't that stupid trap thing that everybody starts to do now. And there was no rap ad-libs in the entire album. I didn't hear no Metro Boomin, I didn't hear no Skirts, no brrr, nothing.
Can I disagree with you slightly? So I felt that 1000 maybe kind of failed, but Voila kind of more succeeded in...
Voila was good.
Well, in not... Well, I think Voila and 1000 sound like trap.
They sound like trap, but if trap was good.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that what it did well was... We always say that trap sounds like electronic music, very formulaic, very simple. There's not really much variation in a lot of the sounds, and very few artists add variation. When they do, it's awesome. I love that Ray Schremer adds a shred of, like, variation.
Yeah.
They, when they make trap-inspired songs,
it's pretty good.
It's got their own spin to it. And so Nerd did a really good job of taking 2017, which is like trap, and it had all that, and remixing it and reinventing it and making it theirs.
And having the Goose and Future in those songs
too. Yeah, and like I'll even credit that, because that's such a risk that not many artists have really taken this year in new albums. It's really easy to just pivot to trap and just stick with that.
Yeah,
and stick with the formula. But no, they took it and they made it they made it their own. It's not just they made it different, they made it their own. It sounds like Nerd's take on trap, and that's exactly what it should have been. Even though it didn't hit the mark.
Yeah, I like. Voila was good, and then 1000 was 1000 would have been good if Future didn't auto tune, which I'm like, okay, what is this, T-Pain?
You got that robot voice, magnificent.
Caesar with those glasses. Oh, shout out to them. We made a podcast
on the Syndicate 23 Network. Yes, of course.
The Cavani Speaks English podcast, and then Don't Do It, featuring the busiest man in hip hop, Kendrick Lamar.
What's the difference between busiest and hardest working?
Busiest is he features on everything. Goose just produces songs. Just content.
That makes total sense.
Kendrick is like bouncing from country to country, like Mars, Earth, Venus. Like he's
countries.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to the sun. He's finding some Martians and stuff on the sun, which, you know, is hilarious because that doesn't make sense at all, but it does. And he's like, hey, I heard you guys are releasing an album. And you want me on it or what?
Sean, don't you know what happens on Earth stays on Earth? Shh. That was pretty good. I'm proud of myself for that. Kendrick's in on two songs, and I thought Don't Do It was... Okay, it's like a politically motivated song, but I felt...
No, don't do it. Please don't do it. This is not fake Jamaican bad.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, like Don't Do It is a like a police brutality song. It was deep, but honestly, I liked Kites, which features Kendrick Lamar and Hanai.
That was good.
Yeah. I think that was Kendrick's better song on this album, personally. And just in general, like, it's a great song. I think Nerd did a good job of making their songs work for their artists.
Yeah, that so made, like, the one, you know how...
Rihanna got the poppy one. Even Lifting You with Ed Sheeran is a different tone from the album. It's a little bit something that would more fit Ed Sheeran's, like, softer
Noted side. Little bitch, softer side.
Yeah, I don't want to equate Noted Little Bitch with softer per se, but like, yes.
No. Yes. But no, just for him, because, you know.
Noted Little Bitch, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it overall. I was kind of surprised. I didn't know exactly what to expect from it going in. And because of like the list of how many people were collaborating, I'm like, okay, don't be gorillas and be like.
Yeah. Mental. Don't be humans.
Yeah, don't be humans. And it wasn't. Just every song, it just fit.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm happy with it.
Yeah. The what was it? Rolling in M7s was an interesting song for me because at that point I was starting to feel like the album was dragging on because Nerd's sound is this like synth pop electronic. It's like very upbeat and kind of crazy off like wild.
Yeah, sometimes. It's eclectic to say the best.
And it's my favorite because I love upbeat albums. Mm-hmm. I love like lots of fast drums and percussions and like bloops and mm-hmm. bleats in music. Like I love it. It's fun. That's probably why electronic music is so good.
Make the best deals.
Makes great deals. But Rolling in M7s like does like a flip change in the middle of the song.
Yeah, and that was strange.
It was strange, but I liked it more than the rest of the song. Because the rest of the song almost shouldn't have been in the album, in my opinion, just because it doesn't sound much different from the instrumentation of the rest of the album.
Yeah.
And it's at that point, at track 8, where it's like, okay, I get the thing you're trying to do, and it can be overbearing. Especially the high-paced, like, nature of it will easily become overbearing.
Yeah, but, I get what you mean.
No, like you said, like, case in point, this album was very, very good. Want to break out the arbitrary score? Let's use some numbers.
Wow, I was about to get all revolutionary on you, but I'm not going to do that.
And we already did a lot of politics, so let's save it. But
let's have to say that.
Let's make it negative numbers. So the closer you are to zero is a better album.
So we're playing lowball in poker? Right?
Negative 100 is awful. What would you give this album? I would put it at...
arbitrary score out of 100.
But using negative numbers.
So I would put at like negative 15 or negative 20. So it's like a solid B.
That's about where I am.
I think like because like if they didn't do that song, if they didn't do the seventh, wow, can I not speak?
Rolling in M7s. Song number 8, Rolling in M7s.
Yeah.
they missed an opportunity there. Docking 5 points.
Exactly. If it wasn't, then it would be negative 15, so negative 20. Yeah, that was the only one that didn't do it for me. And then also if Future wasn't auto-tuned, I think then it would have been fine. It would have been up to about like a high B, low A.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, Nerd released a fantastically produced type.
And it wasn't
album.
Like overly produced, finally.
Yeah, it wasn't overly produced. It was
just enough. Just clean.
Not genre blending, but genre mixing. Yeah. Like definitely, and it's gotta be said, to get a product that is kind of like this refined, where you're putting quite a lot in and it comes out and it's like good, it's very difficult.
You sound like a capitalist now.
How?
No, I was joking. Because you like put in a product and all the time worked, and if it comes out, that's hard to do.
Oh, that's, you know, seize the means of production. As long as the means of production are held in the hands of very few.
Whoa.
Anyways. Right.
No politics. We really need that on a shirt. And I need a shirt that says I needed this on a shirt. Shirtception.
I made a slight change to the rundown just to lighten things up a tiny bit. Okay. But, I have a question for Sean. What's more reliable, Morrissey concerts or Bitcoin?
Litecoin.
Morrissey has canceled or postponed 127 concerts since 2012.
I think because all he was doing was sleeping in bed.
I think all he was doing was apologizing for Kevin Spacey.
That's rough. I love Morrissey because like his music is awesome and he's also the most depressing man in music, but
yeah,
interesting human.
We reviewed Morrissey's album this year and we pretty much liked it, and I did a pretty good job, if I do say so myself, of keeping his opinions and perspectives out of the music review itself.
But hey, Morrissey pays his taxes, allegedly, so we're good.
Apparently Morrissey pays his taxes, so at least there's that.
But if it comes out that he doesn't pay his taxes, then I immediately go against you. I don't care who you are. Unless you're Tom York or Johnny Greenwood, because they should just be put on a pedestal.
I wasn't going to put this in the rundown, but it's worth mentioning.
Speaking of Tom York.
No, not even that. No, it's worth mentioning that Radiohead, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame drama is over.
Oh, that's right.
Radiohead did not win the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, surprising no one. And Radiohead was dead last in the fan pick for who gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
because Radiohead fans didn't vote.
Because Radiohead fans are like them and like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
I don't have who went, who, if... I don't know who got won in. Off the top of my head.
I forget.
Want to check it while I open the next story?
No, does it even matter? Do I have to do it?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's like who won the Ballon d'Or for football. Who cares?
Well, I mean, like, we'll talk about who won the Grammy, but we'll also talk about how it's not relevant. And to be honest, I don't want to, like, the people who run the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's not like they didn't deserve it. It's not like, it's not even comparable to the Grammys, because it's not something they give out to a lot of artists. It's something that you have to achieve over like many years to get. And so I don't want to belittle the fact that awards are great, and I love it when artists are being recognized, but it's a fine line where like the recognition becomes a whole thing. Like, look at all these awards I got. And there are definitely other awards, the Grammys, where you kind of just get it not even totally based on merit, because there are definitely better albums that haven't won Grammys.
Yeah. I have it here.
You do?
Bon Jovi, The Cars, Dire Straits, Sister, Rosetta, The Harpy, Nina Simone, and The Moody Blues.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Which is pretty solid. You know, it's good. But, you know, Radiohead isn't even rock and roll half the time. They're like, I'm going to experiment with sounds and revolutionize music for the rest of eternity.
But, right.
But, you know... Don't sleep.
God. Okay. Moogfest. It's a festival.
So, whenever you say that, it just
you hit the Moog.
Yeah, it Moogfest. It just sounds really weird.
Well, let's get into it.
I know. Let's hop in. Let's jump in.
So Moogfest It's going to be in 2018 in North Carolina, and it's going. And the idea is the lineup is female, non-binary, or transgender artists. Sean is just like, what kind of social justice warrior bullshit podcast are you trying to run?
I don't know what to say, because I don't want to get banned from my own podcast.
Okay, walk with caution, but I'll tell you,
non-binary. Let's do this. So that means, are Daft Punk non-binary?
They're human after all, but they don't identify. They identify as robots, but they're human, but...
And see, that's a question now.
Wow, you...
I stumped you. Damn.
You know what? I'm going to call into the Ben Shapiro show and ask.
Whoa.
Okay, but there was some drama, because when this was being booked, and this isn't in the Consequence of Sound article, I just heard about this, but when this festival was being booked, many of the artists weren't told that it was going to be like a female, transgender, non-binary only festival. As in like the artists. I think you can buy tickets if like regardless of how you identify. Because there are some festivals that are coming
up. Whoa. I said, additionally, Chelsea Manning will lead a keynote conversation explaining how technology enables radical disruption in the personal and political spheres, framing the technological future as a new creative landscape. Whoa.
Chelsea Manning.
Freedom fighter.
Kind of. Allegedly. No politics. Let's just veer off of that. But I want to talk about the main thing about this, which is there were artists who were not told that this was going to be like a female or like there was not going to be like this specific festival, and so they felt typecast. However, there are other However, there are other artists who are like, listen, a lot of festivals and a lot of musicians are dudes. There is. When you have that kind of situation, you have to organize these kinds of things, because for some of these groups, this is the only recognition they're getting.
So how does it work? Because LCD Sound System isn't all...
LCD Sound System synth experimentalist Gavin Reyna-Russom, who just came out as transgender. So it's not the whole.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, we talked about this in another way a while ago about typecasting in the industry, especially with the Grammys, how you get thrown into a certain award. Like, it's kind of like you're seeing both sides of that argument again, where do you want a special award because you, like, do you want an award category? Do you want a category being made, because there's a lack of recognition for that group and you want to recognize them somehow? Or do you argue that the issue of lack of recognition of these groups is because they aren't being factored into the regular conversations with regular other artists. And so by creating this one group for them, it's typecasting. So if you're a transgender artist, then you get an award for being the best transgender artist and not like the best artist. And like, it's an interesting thing, but I kind of feel like you can do both. I think in the long term, you want like people to be recognized purely based on their music, not necessarily their like gender identification.
Yeah.
But in the meantime to get there, you need platforms like this so that it gets a little bit more normalized. Like, it's cool that you could fill an entire lineup. This is a festival, keep in mind. This seems to be a pretty like decently sized festival. But filling an entire lineup where everyone's women, transgender, or non-binary. When, like I said, many artists that we love, artists that we have no problems with, but they're like overwhelmingly men. And yeah, there is that inherent balance. I'm glad that people are kind of creating that space for that. But
it's like,
they definitely could have done it better with how they tell the artist how it's gonna be billed.
I don't know. It's just like part breaks. I hate that. It's too PC. If that makes any sense. Where it's like, oh, okay, you're going a little overboard now. Like, to me, it's like, it should just be the art. Right. And then you give opportunities to them as much as you want.
Yeah.
And you can't, it's really ironic and, I can't think of the word, or hypocritical that you exclude one when you're trying to include other ones that are usually excluded.
Yeah.
So I go, what? Okay.
That's what a lot of artists who signed up for this agreed to.
It's like, it's no politics. It's hard. I wanted to say something good.
We should honestly make the decision of whether we just make this a half political music show.
So we really should, because I want to say, well, it's like if you're uber religious, but you don't care if you blast humans in half with bombs. So, like, all right.
Yeah, that is a hypocrisy, I guess.
Super hypocritical, but I'm gonna stay out of it.
No, but like what you're saying is a point that some of the artists that were booked for this show have made, is that what is the better way to approach this?
Seriously, like that's the wrong way.
Yeah,
almost in order to do it, because then it's like, don't exclude anybody.
Yeah, but
maybe make it your headline artists instead, if that makes any sense. Because even if it's a small thing, you can put them on the big stage. You could put them, like, if you have a festival or anything, and you know, you have that main stage, or usually you have, like, your headliners do it, you can have those people be at the headline times.
Right.
If that makes any sense. I mean, it's hard to do, but there's different ways to do
it. It makes sense, but here's my counterpoint to that. If you're I'm trying to think of, like, status quo how it is right now versus what this Bog festival standard is,
yeah,
and why you wouldn't do it like this. At the end of the day, these festivals are trying to sell tickets, because festivals are one of the last remaining ways musicians can make more than just basic minimum wage for their work. Festivals are one of the last ways, and they're coming after that too. Like, managers and...
They're coming after that.
Like, everyone's trying to get their cut in that too, but it's still the most lucrative thing. And so, that being said, to make it lucrative, you have to make sure that your festival has, like, the fans, the people who will come out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the issue in the music industry with visibility and things like this, it's inherently going to be harder for some of these artists to be billed. I mean, maybe some of the bigger ones, like Gavin Reyna-Russom from LCD Sound mm-hmm. System and a couple others, might fare okay. But generally, if you were to put many of these artists who otherwise
no one would
never
know.
Been heard,
yeah,
that's not going to sell tickets. I mean, the fans will come, but like it's...
But that's not enough.
Yeah. And so that might be the counterpoint. And by billing it as hey, this is for this marginalized group within music, because we all accept that like festivals aren't based on art or talent, even though they should be, mm-hmm. because this is a marginalized group, we will make this only for that. And that's a selling point. Because otherwise, you may not go to see some of these other random artists you haven't heard of, but you may go to see the idea of this is something really radical that hasn't happened anywhere, and we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this has just gone a lot of... And it's another thing. Like, and I think it's very clear this conversation. Like, we're fine with... I mean, I don't care what gender you are. If you play music, just make the music good.
Exactly. Have a take, don't suck.
Yeah. that should be very clear, like, both of our opinions. But this isn't the perfect way to do this. This mm-hmm. isn't, like, a great way to do this. I'm not saying don't have this festival. I'm probably fine with it, but...
Next time, don't do it this way.
Yeah. Don't tell the artists what they're getting into, and use this at least as a stepping stone to make things, like... To make it so we don't have to have transgender-specific music festivals, or like women-specific music festivals. Make it so we just have music festivals with cool artists, and it doesn't matter how they look.
All right, I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. It's fine. It's allowed. Fine.
It's allowed.
Speaking of things that pissed Sean off, Apple.
Why can't it be called Pear now?
I'm pretty
Orange.
Sure. Orange. A lot of companies, like, when they can't Banana. Show Apple, they'll, like, they pick other fruits.
Yeah, they'll use other fruits, which is fine.
I think Drake and Josh used Pear, actually.
I think they did.
Do not sleep.
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Okay, so really quick hits with the Apple news. Apple's phasing out the iTunes store by the beginning of 2019.
So good, because it sucks.
Nice take, Sean.
You deleted literally half of my music library. Apparently, I bought that 6 months later after I bought three albums. Those albums didn't exist. Like, oh, you have to rebuy them. I bought them, you assholes. And they weren't showing up on my phone or anything on my computer.
There were a ton of issues when Apple released Apple Music, because now you have two music platforms that have a lot of overlap, and how do you reconcile the two with...
You reconcile them by getting rid of everything and going to Google and downloading Spotify and telling the FCC head guy to...
FCC himself.
To FCC himself. To alive himself and to tear down that guillotine. And to bring it apart.
We are walking very close to the edge where I'm gonna have to start editing things out.
Yeah, that's no, nice. I want to go as close to the edge to where you're literally your hands are on
Please
top of your keyboard.
Please don't make me Alvy with my finger hovering over the dump button. I'm twitchy.
With the block button, I'm gonna be pumping blocks to my dead body.
So,
anyways,
but that's gonna so. Is Apple just saying, like, downloaded music is dead? I mean, it's true. Download numbers are going down. And
yeah, because of streaming. Because streaming is the way to go.
It's the dumber... Like, streaming is the smarter way economically for consumers to listen to music.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
It's the way to get the music to the people.
But it's... Like, iTunes... It's amazing. That's almost 20 years after iTunes kind of revolutionized the idea of a downloadable album and a downloadable MP3. Because they had to do...
20 years.
Because they had to do that to convince the music... The record labels to jump on. Because before, the record label's idea of music on the internet was Napster.
Was just to say, it was
and
Napster,
like, we're not
which
doing
is
that.
Rough.
But iTunes can...
Hey, you got the MP3 file or what?
Right? It's like, hey, give me that zip file.
Wow.
Like sharing albums on thumb drives in middle school, allegedly.
Oh my God. Elementary school, allegedly.
Oh yeah, we were really
Except
sad.
I was the only one listening to electronic music in 2003. People were like, what is that?
We were really savvy in elementary school, allegedly.
That was rough. Listen, but, Daft Punk.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing happening. And
they also bought Shazam.
They also bought Shazam.
For $400 million. Almost half a bill. I didn't realize it was that much. So I realized I'm going to have to delete Shazam from my phone now because, you know, hashtag no Apple. Ever since Tim Cook took over, I'm like, this shit doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'm honestly surprised that I didn't realize people used it that much to where it's worth it, because I wonder if they're going to change Shazam into Apple Listen or some like a stupid name like that and just put their logo on it.
You jumped right ahead of me, but you're basically right. So when tech companies make these kind of acquisitions, it's usually for their technology.
It's like Amazon buying shit too.
Yeah, and if it's a really popular... I mean, we don't have to look that far. What did Apple do with Beats? The brand is still there because the Beats brand is strong, but Beats is a thoroughly Apple product. You like...
Well, look at Will I Am is like... Deep state Apple beyond belief.
Well,
like,
don't get me started on Will I Am in the tech world, because he also works at Intel apparently, and he's he's also doing. Did you hear that show like Battle of the Apps? Will I Am's a judge on that, because you know Will I Am knows how to make apps.
Oh my God, this is
like we can do a no chill island on Will I Am alone.
We really could at this point, but okay.
But no, you're right. These kind of acquisitions are like. Apple is probably...
You know, sorry to keep going on the Will.i.am train. I just remembered that Dick riding Obama thing on the Boondocks from Will.i.am.
And that was parodying a song that was like Dick riding Obama and everything but lyric.
Yep.
It was called It's a New Day or something?
Shit, something like that.
But man, that was spot
My president on. Is black and my Lambo is blue.
We were watching the Boondocks before recording, and I... Having now watching it not being a middle to high schooler... there's a lot of really smart references about music.
Oh my God, there's
so much. In season
three,
there's an episode about Thugnificent, who's like, and if you don't watch the show, the Boondocks is like a suburban black kids, but it's also kind of an anime, and it's like really offensive and political, but like really smart. But it's
hilarious.
The best way I can put
it.
But Thugnificent is just like a basic gangster rapper who is like fallen on hard times. And so he releases a new album, and it's got like auto-tune, and
it's so funny.
Like, it's all very stuck.
All the shitty things that have happened in rap.
Yeah, all the like criticisms people like Laura Ingraham have about rap music, but like actually in there and actually there.
This is a really political podcast today.
I mean,
it's bad.
Laura Ingraham started it when she did that Sean, you made a mistake. She did that segment when she was trying to say that, wow, Jay-Z's song Story of OJ has nigga in it a lot. She didn't say the word. She's, if she did, it would have been a hard R. But
dude, if I would have been a hard R.
But he said it
eight times
in the first lyric. And it's like, yeah, listen to the song. It's about how no matter what you are, you will always be black in society.
Yeah. Like, come on, dog. You missed the point.
It's like,
I'm a real dog. You a little dog.
21. Don't get me started on that Laura Ingraham thing. It was so ridiculous. Let's run back to Apple. But basically what
Shazam,
you said is right.
Yeah, they're gonna build their own damn app now. Yeah. Apparently Will.i.am is gonna judge and say, Tim Cook, you suck. I can make it better.
But like, I mean, that's what I was gonna say. Shazam is very popular because it's the What's the Song app.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for the people, I gotta listen to MBE and hear some weird hipster shit. Be like, hey, Dan, check this out.
Yeah, it's a useful tool for us. And Google has it built in to Android. Like, it has it built into the Google Assistant, where if you just, like, start hitting the button, it'll tell you're listening to music, and it'll start, like, trying to listen to music. But it doesn't work nearly as well as Shazam. And so Apple probably trying to play on the music brand that they kind of have,
mm-hmm.
or the music acumen, I guess they have, will probably try to roll it into Apple Music. But, I mean, that's just going to mean that Spotify is going to put it in there and then they'll kill you.
Yep.
No one's on Apple Music. Anyways, a lot of people are, but still not as much as Spotify. Let's move on. That's more time that I even wanted to spend on Apple. But
well, we won't talk about Apple most of the time because, you know, I get pissed off whenever I talk about a stupid fruit.
Get touchy. So, Queens of the Stone Age frontman Josh Homme.
Dude, he went straight Marilyn Manson.
He had
an episode.
Yeah, so he was playing at K-Rock's Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, that's what holy shit, it was there. That's hilarious.
So, yeah, so like every year, local radio stations do their own Let's Invite Some Resident Artists who all happen to be touring in the same five groups and do the same thing. I'm pretty sure the lineup for that's a lie. The lineup for Not So Silent Night in the Bay Area didn't include Queens of the Stone Age, but it's usually every local radio station all owned by Clear Channel. No politics. AKA iHeartMedia. But they take the same five or six bands that are touring around and go, hey, our local radio stations are going to be hosting a special
Christmas time episode
event thing. Yeah. Come here and come to all these radio stations and tour and we'll pay you lots of sweet, sweet digital media money. That doesn't exist. But
Jesus Christ.
It's
just almost as bad as a Colin Powell joke that they made it. We made it. The Condoleezza Rice joke.
There is definitely demand both internally and externally in Syndicate 23 for a political show. I just don't know how to execute it well.
Yeah.
But clearly there are feelings that are being vented out that need to go in one place. So Josh Homme, in addition to other things we're going to talk about, during one performance, he like cut his head. I did a cut in his head, started screaming. It was being really... You said he went full Marilyn Manson.
He went straight up Marilyn Manson, where you're like, okay, we just let him do his thing, just step back, because there's going to be some glass.
He became a shock rocker for a minute.
Yeah, seriously, like, straight up.
Which is like, I mean...
whoa, all right. I mean, as Bam always jokes, like, watch out for Whitey. Whitey's crazy. You got it. He's like, Sean, you got it in you. You're never going to know. Don't shoot up Max Blooms one day. It'll get on the news. That's cool, but I agree.
You're just dancing on the line.
I'm so close on the line.
My anxiety hasn't been this high since my last relationship ended.
Damn, I was gonna say, except the last podcast that we had had a purple bird chirping in the background. So
anyways,
anxiety attack.
I'm bearing the lead here, but the main thing is that Josh Homme kicked a photographer in the face. Well, she kicked...
female photographer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, PC.
I'm not touching that. he kicked, and he tried to do the Trump argument and goes, oh, well, I kicked the camera. But it's like, have you...
Why would...
Don't be fucking stupid.
A, why would you kick a camera? B, you're not Marilyn Manson, so no one's expecting that.
Fucking stupid. C, if you have a camera, and you're using a camera, and you're a photographer, it's against your head.
It's in your eye, dog. Okay,
so when you kick someone, yes, it's going to hit them in the head.
Yeah.
And so, she had...
Stupid.
It was obviously very intentional, said Chelsea Lauren, the photographer. And he addressed the incident, like, by apologizing and saying he was sorry, but, like, she went to the ER.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, ouch. Young Cedars-Sinai, apparently.
Damn.
And, like, had to deal with that. But the worst thing about this is that I was reading some comments reacting to the article, and there are a bunch of people going, well, Queens of Stone Age has a well-known policy against photography at their shows. I'm like, this wasn't their show.
That's not their show.
This was Clear Channel show, asshole. This was the corporate show. Shut the hell up. All right?
If it's your own...
Your rules don't apply.
If it's, like, you go to... The Citadel. What the hell's the theater in LA?
Greek?
Or one of the Greek theaters.
Bowl.
Or Bowl, Hollywood Bowl, whatever. Whatever venue. Pick your poison. Your venue in LA, that's their thing. Okay, cool. That's one thing. But this is like a headline festival for K-Rock. And that's always like the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Their thing. Like, they're an act in it that were invited, and they have 40 other artists there.
Well, for this, it was probably more like 4 or 5. But in general, you're right.
Yeah, it's like K-Rock Acoustic Christmas is usually pretty big.
Really?
It's really big, yeah. I think Incubus is there too. I
keep talking. I'm sorry to derail your point. But
No, because usually it's a big show, because I always hear it all the time. It's usually have a lot of big acts on it.
Last year, and it was...
It depends on the year.
Okay.
Yeah, see, like, you got Green Day, Weezer on there.
Okay, those are big artists, but not many artists.
Not a little bitch, Weezer.
That's funny. I also remember that Queen, like, the frontman was just like, oh, Muse is on next, but fuck them.
Wow, all right.
It was coming in hot.
Shit.
But 1, 2, 3, damn. 4, 5, 6, 7.
No. What did Matthew Bellamy do to you?
19 artists at Acoustic Christmas, which is more than I expected.
Yeah, exactly. So usually it's like 20.
No, because like I said, San Francisco's version of this, Oakland's version of this.
Remember.
Not Silent Night.
Remember, Bay Area, small. LA, big.
Bay Area, but for music. Like...
Oh, it's... Yeah, but I'm talking about, like... Wow, my point literally left my head.
I know what that feels like.
Jesus, I'm, like, staring at a ghost right now.
Let me just say that Not So Silent Night was in Roracle.
Okay.
So, like...
The Oracle.
I called it Roracle because young Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I know.
Biggest bandwagoner ever. But, I mean, they filled up an arena, so that's a lot of...
That's also a lot of humans.
We're having this conversation about, like, the amount of people in San Francisco when we should be having a conversation about why people are assholes and they're justifying it. So, like, yeah, as you said, there are venues who, like, either have the rules or they don't. But I don't think people understand the logistics of how this works. When you're at a show, there's the general admission floor, and then there's an area in between the stage itself and general admission. That's called the pit. There's usually a lot of security guards there. And you want to know what else they put there? Photographers.
Always.
Because photographers who have passes get to shoot there because they want pictures of the show so they can advertise. Because remember, this isn't the Queens of the Stone Age game. This is Clear Channel's game. They need to advertise.
K-Rock, quote unquote.
And this, I'm actually totally not even sure if K-Rock is part of iHeart Radio, but I'm almost...
I believe it is.
Literally exactly is, yeah. I mean, what isn't, but...
No name.
Yeah, like, if she wasn't supposed to be there, that's what security guards are for.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, worst security guards ever if she wasn't supposed to be there. But, like, she was supposed to be there.
This isn't a mod concert in the 60s, where it's like, all right, people are going to get kicked in the face because it's mods are meant, like, we're crazy. But this isn't a backside show in the 60s.
We live in a society, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a punk rock show in England.
Yeah.
With everybody's wearing Fred Perry.
Oh, man.
Breaking bottles on each other's heads and shit. It's not that type of show.
Talking about immigrants.
Whoa. Anyways, Eminem.
All right, yes.
Heartbreak.
We went really into that, and so let's get into this review and then
go to
that. It's
already 11, so yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. But Eminem's revival, Eminem's first album in a while. It sounds like it might be his last album based on listening to it and listening to the lyrics. It's long.
It's really long.
What is it, like an hour and 17 minutes?
Is it maybe for the people? Yeah, hour and 17, exactly. There's 19 songs, but two of them are like 30 seconds long, so. You take the wheel first, because I took
the wheel. Let me take the wheel first. I did not feel great coming into this album because Eminem's like cypher thing at the BET Awards, where it was this like virtue signaling, hey, guess what? I'm a celebrity and I don't like Trump too thing that is weird, especially coming from someone like Eminem. When I even said it back then, it's like, oh, look, we have woke Eminem. Which one of your like lines about rape it makes you woke Eminem?
Whoa.
Like, it's a very odd thing. And so in coming into this album, I'm like, okay, is Eminem like woke now and is just gonna be rapping about how sad he is about shit? And like, is this an Eminem album or is this like a Marshall Mathers album? Because Marshall Mathers always felt like a little bit more like personal to him, whereas Eminem was just like this crazy character.
Yeah, yeah, just mental.
And the thing is that once you listen to the album, you find out that's a little bit of both. Exactly. For better and for worse. And actually, I liked the album more than I thought I would. Because I'll start with the, I'll say this and then let you kind of jump in. But I think what Eminem did best in this album is towing the line between self-awareness of the moment and time you're in and the person he is a rapper who has like been one of the most controversial ones of all time.
Mm-hmm.
While at the same time, not really dialing that back too much. And also, sorry for the wind chimes in the background. Not dialing it back too much, still being kind of brazen, still being kind of inappropriate, but having that self-awareness to it.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like the best of his both worlds lately. You can kind of take that with a grain of salt because it wasn't really depressing, but a couple of the songs were like getting a bit much to me.
That makes much any sense? In the way of, like, what? What was a lot about them?
Like, I don't even know if you could, I guess you could call it political. But not, like, some, but it's like that weird line of political or being too personal. Like, I don't know what that fine line is or, like, what's a.
I think you might be referring to the song Untouchable.
Yes, exactly.
Because that, like, the song Untouchable is the idea of, like, white privilege. I think that's what Eminem's trying to talk about in the album.
Okay.
And.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. Generally,
sorry, yeah. In the song, not the whole album. The whole album's not about white privilege, just that song.
No, no, exactly. It's just that song. There's but, like, a,
go ahead.
Yeah, I generally is the album in general. I liked it. It ran pretty long and it got dragged out towards the end. I'm like, oh, okay, this is getting a bit much.
Yes,
like
I will say, to be fair, that's not uncharacteristic from Eminem's other albums.
I was about to say that, but I'm like, but I knew that going into it because it's. He's like the goose where it's like, it's gonna, you know, you're before listening to it, you gotta prepare yourself because it's gonna be, it's a long time. Yeah. I liked it though. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Some of the songs got a little samey kind of, but.
But again, that's like a characteristic.
But exactly.
Eminem
thing. But he didn't expand too much on what he does. He kind of kept, it's like how Muse did with Drones or Killers, whatever, the past couple of years, where it's like they stuck to what their gut is, which is pretty good, and it's like bog standard what you would think and expect from an Eminem album. Like,
precisely.
Yeah, he had a lot of like a few collaborations with Beyonce, Noted Little Bitch, Ed Sheeran, X Ambassadors, Pink, which was actually a really cool song, Need Me.
Yeah.
Alicia Keys, who I always fuck with, Kalani, and Fresher,
yeah.
I've never heard of.
Did you mention Beyonce?
Yeah, I said Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. And ex-ambassadors, who I actually hadn't heard of before, but I'm now hearing about a bunch.
No, I've known them for a while, because a couple of my friends listen to them. They're okay. They're not bad. Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't bad. I mean, kind of like solid, like, average, a little bit above average album. That's to me.
Yeah,
Granted, I only did really listen to it once. I wish I could have listened to it more, but we don't have
time.
Like, this week is ridiculously bad.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think we said a lot we said, but this is how Eminem usually is.
That's kind of what you take instead of Revival. This is how Eminem usually is.
Yeah.
That should be the title of it.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I think musically, which is a very important factor, send it to me. But
No. Just what you, right after Eminem, when you hit the douchebag corner.
Oh yeah, next up. But what was I saying? What's the same about this album, which should have been improved, is that it's long. Eminem could have made it shorter.
100% could have made it shorter. You could cut up 3 songs on there easily.
Musically, it's his style of like blending rock and rap, which I don't hate, and it's not done that often. So that didn't change, but that didn't change for the better. And lyrically, Eminem is still there. He's still got talent, and he's got that same incredible ability to tell a vivid, descript story in a song with like great rhymes, like phenomenal. Like it's still, he is one of the best talents in that. I think the main thing that makes this album different from honestly anything is just Eminem's self-awareness. It's that he's like, some would call it like slight wokeness, but like, I call it self-aware and not woke because it's not the whole album.
It's the A, because it's not, I'm glad it wasn't a whole, where this theme of the year, we were gonna make this a category.
Yeah.
Like, people being fake woke.
Performative woke award.
Seriously, what were you saying? Yeah, the fakest woke award or
the,
whatever.
The most corny the most musician corny, in America.
Yeah, exactly. Because we all know who the least corny musician is in America. At least corny person in America is.
Dick writing Vince Staples.
Now, that was one of the staples. Because there's only that one song. And I believe it was Untouchable. I have to listen to it again.
So there's Untouchable. There's Walk on Water, kind of. But like...
But it wasn't like a straight up super political, because it was more of him like maturing as a person.
Yeah.
Than anything. It wasn't Lana Del Rey saying, "Oh, I'm so sad because politics." I'm like, all right, come on, dog.
Oh, I totally forgot that album came out. That's a contender.
Oh no, she's in the contender.
That's
for
a contender.
Lana Del Rey is in there for fake woke.
But yeah, this album is mostly Eminem's like life story. It's like him maturing, him recognizing. Last song, Arose, like I don't like spoil it per se, but it's like a very like passionate, heartfelt, both in the production song, and in the lyrics. Like it's almost like an apology to his daughter.
Yeah, and like
Bad Husband's apology to his wife.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, you're actually kind of owning up to your shit. I like it.
Yeah, like this is the year where all of like, you know, Jay-Z had to own up to shit. Like,
dude, Jay-Z had to go hardcore. Like, I don't want to lose my money.
Jay-Z's got a great therapist.
Jay-Z's therapist is probably owns a small country. Probably has the same GDP as Sierra Leone, to be honest. Like, dog, his therapist makes bank.
I mean, he talked about it in a little bit actually, I don't want to get too into that because we kind of are talking about that. But long story short, Eminem.
Are we?
Good question. But there isn't too much politics in this. If you're really turned off by Eminem's cipher on BET, maybe skip through Untouchable. But other than that, you won't really notice a lot of politics in here. But it's nice to see that Eminem has grown up. But let's keep in mind, there's still Need Me in Your Head. Like, the last half of the album still feels like Eminem.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, raunchy, like, off the wall.
He could have cut out a couple of those songs towards the end, too, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There are some that are definitely extra and didn't need to be there because it's a long album. But case in point, it was better than I expected. Lyrically, and Eminem's such a lyrical vocalist.
Mm-hmm. That's what makes his stuff.
It's a big change, and it's a big story, and he's still great, so that's great. Music's good, and that's fine. But yeah, it just doesn't feel like he tried to do too much differently other than lyrics.
What's all right? Do we do Nar?
Arbitrary score.
Yeah. But you go first because I went first last time.
Negative, also like 25, 20.
Yeah, I was gonna go 25, I think. I wouldn't rate it higher than Nerd for sure, because I like that album a lot more.
Fair. Yeah, I'm not
really I still don't like super long albums, even if it's your thing, still. Like, well, I will dock you a bit.
Just in general, I mean, if we're comparing the two albums now, subjectively, like, Nerd just brought a lot more to the table.
Oh, yeah.
In the album. And did it in a shorter package, in a more refined package.
Yeah.
I don't want to compare Nerd and Eminem because they're very different outfits doing very different things, but it's worth to be said. As albums, definitely, that was the better one. You good?
Yeah, there's like a big chunk of weirdness on my screen. I go, what the hell? Did I just break my laptop? Anyways, douchebag corner.
All right, let's get through these stories really quickly. XXXTentacion, who, if you thought wasn't bad enough for beating up his pregnant
ex-girlfriend. He might be on the list for who gets guillotined first.
Oh, Ajit Pai is first on that list.
Oh, no. I mean, Ajit Pai is obviously first, but I mean, who
he might be the first non-politician we guillotine.
Yes, I'm like, who's on there? Like, he's up there. He's like top five.
Top ten. Let's keep this for the award show.
Oh my God, can we have wow.
The guillotine award.
The guillotine corner.
The guillotine. The
guillotine, because, you know, future.
The promethazine guillotine award.
No, the guillotine award brought to you by promethazine. That's an official award. That's an official award now.
Well,
you heard it here first, folks.
All right.
And when you get the award show, that's going to be one of the awards. The guillotine brought to you by promethazine. Anyways.
So, oh my God.
More jail charges.
So, there's two things that are brazen here.
Oh, God.
XXXTentacion filed a document from that ex-girlfriend earlier this month claiming that she no longer wants XXXTentacion to be prosecuted. However, the prosecutors believe the rapper illegally coerced the ex-girlfriend into signing the document, 100%. And he has now been jailed without bail.
Damn. The authorities.
I mean, at least we're putting the right black people in jail this time. He is now charged with 7 new felonies, as well as the initial charges of battery and false imprisonment.
And apparently I remember this, but I forgot. He caused controversy after appearing to lynch a white child in his video, Look At Me. Damn. this.
if you think, I'm just saying, this is a horrible person.
This is pretty bad. This is really bad.
Another douchebag kisses Gene Simmons, accused of sexual battery.
That's rough.
During an interview.
Wait.
Of anything. So according to the lawsuit, Simmons repeatedly grabbed the woman's hand and forcefully placed it on his knee and held on his knee. We'd heard about this before, I believe.
Oh, no, we did talk about that before, but now there's actual charges.
Oh, no, hold. Gene Simmons was banned from Fox News.
That's what we talked about.
I remember my take was, you have to try really hard to be banned from Fox News for sexual assault. It usually takes a lot of effort, and usually you get $20 million afterwards. But at least in this case, it didn't work that well for Gene Simmons. And in a statement, Simmons responded saying that his lawyers are going to defend him vigorously against these allegations that he has denied. But I mean, your actions speak louder than your words. It's like XXXTentacion. Okay, maybe there's a snowball's chance in hell that the ex-girlfriend you had, whom you beat while she was pregnant and abused many other times before that, maybe she doesn't want to see you anymore. Or maybe you're continuing to threaten people because that's a pattern of your behavior. And so when things fall into a pattern of behavior, that's when it's like, I don't have that much sympathy for you.
Yeah, no.
And this is the last thing.
Speaking of therapists.
Yeah. So Jay-Z opened up in this huge New York Times interview that I recommend people see.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. He talks about everything from like politics to music. He talks about
orange juice.
OJ, yeah. Kanye, like everything's in there. But like, I think the most important parts of it, especially for after understanding 444,
it's a lot.
To listen to the part about how Jay-Z says making the music and working through the music was a process of him working through his past inner demons and then creating this as like a reconciliation or like a, it's like a, he's a new person. He's seeing all these different things and he's expressed that through his art.
He's waking
through
his slumber.
Wild way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I think, one of the coolest things because you don't often hear like huge, yeah, you don't often hear huge celebrities, especially like gangster rappers. It's like Jay-Z was kind of a gangster rap, but like that harder style of rap where like drugs, sex, all that shit. And turning around and going like, that was all like a crutch. That was all like me hiding feelings. It was all just misunderstanding. It's just like
feels.
All this shit. Yeah, Jigga Man's got feels.
The Jig's got feels.
He's also got opinions on Cristal.
Ocean Cristal.
Told you so. More Boondock shit. But yeah, just really quickly, just check out that interview. I think it's really good. And
pretty cool. Yeah.
We made it.
Podcast.
On the Syndicate 23 Network is something you should also listen to, where Bam and Caesar talk about soccer. Football, soccer, either one. Americans. Like, oh, it's great. Syndicate 23 has a bunch of international listeners. And so, for y'all, football.
Exactly.
And honestly, I prefer football. Foosball. Honestly, it makes more sense. I have to keep correcting myself to say soccer to do that. But we made it. Syndicate23.co. Check them out there. We are done for this week, but we're going to have
Two shows.
The best shows.
For the people. The people show.
You can find me trolling Ben Shapiro on Twitter at DanFleeWeb. You can find me ranting about politics on Facebook at facebook.com/DanFleeInternet. And you can find me convincing myself to start posting more on Instagram at DanFleeInternet.
Yeah, looking like a asshole on Instagram.
There you go. You're just mad because I have that grid thing. It's dope looking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'll give you that. And then everything at SWSY is for me. I don't post shit, so whatever.
Catch me if you can. You're usually running.
Seriously. I'm in a pool right now. BRB.
Right.
BRB swimming.
Swimming and shit. All right. Thank you. This is fun. And thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Cheers.